Well, we appreciate the Lord this morning. We appreciate the many blessings He gives to each one of us. We are daily loaded with benefits. I believe that of God's people. We're daily loaded with benefits, whether we recognize them or not. On the board it says, bring glory and praise to the Lord. And this morning I want to have a little cousin to last week's message. We talked about Thanksgiving last week. And I'm thinking this morning, I just feel like the Lord's inspired me with this, that, you know, we can have in our services, this is our home. This is our place. It's like our home. We can make our home kind of what we want it to be a little bit, can't we? A whole lot, in fact. We can have the kind of table we want, the chairs we want. We can put flowers on the table or not. We can hang pictures on our walls and enjoy them. And the place can have life, and it can have it can be alive and refreshing to be there. And I thank God for that. Largely due a lot of times to the women folks that those beauties are made. But I'm thinking about the church this morning and thinking about our life today. And, you know, the Lord has done so much for us, has He not? And, you know, we can bring a little light upon God to other people, and we can bring Him praise, and it is our privilege to do that. You know, the Lord has given us great and precious promises, hasn't He? That by these we can be partakers of the divine nature. And the Lord has given us all things richly to enjoy, the Word says. The Lord has done that. And this morning, I just think about the privileges that we have in the gospel are likened in a way to what the Lord promised in a different way. The Lord promised His people coming from Egypt, which is a type of sin. The Lord promised them, they were in bondage, and He said, I'm going to take you to a land that flows with milk and honey. You know, those were precious promises to them, weren't they? They looked forward to that, I believe. But when they got up to that place and got close to that place, they found out there was giants that lived in that land. And they found out, perhaps they already knew it, there was obstacles in that land. When they first entered, there was Jericho. And from there, it was one place after another. And they had to, after they went into this land, they had to capture these places and bring them into subjection where they could inherit the promises that God gave them. And He told them, He said, I'm going to give this to you little by little. I'm not going to give it to you all at once, lest the beasts of the field rise against you. Or, you know, the Lord was wise in His ways. And this morning, I want to think about our lives, and let's take a little trip around rather than just simply talking about praising the Lord the whole time. I want us to think about some things. You know, this morning, those precious promises that the Lord has given His people, the fruits of the Spirit, you know, we look at those things, those are good, that's good stuff, isn't it? Who doesn't want to have a heart full of love? I'm sure there's wicked people that just fill themselves with wickedness. But most people would like to have peace in their life, I believe. Most people would like to enjoy and have joy in their life. Most people would like to have probably if they could just choose it, a measure of love. But maybe in their warped beginnings and all those things, something got out of whack. But folks, we have great and precious promises given to us. And we are able to inherit and enjoy things that is hardly available to the world. It's not available. It's not available except through Jesus Christ. And there it's available to everyone. And so this morning, I just want us to think about praise. I believe that the Lord would like for us to inherit a little more of this in our midst. And I want to bring some things out. I'd like us to just ask the Lord this morning, Lord, just open your word today, and because it's the Lord that does that. And open it to me particularly, and help me to be a partaker of that, because when we do, it changes who we are. It changes how we live and how we act and talk. But I just wanted to throw out a few scriptures at first. Psalms 106:1 says, "Praise ye the Lord. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." That's wonderful, isn't it? In 35:18 of Psalms, it says, "I will give thanks in the great congregation. I will praise thee among much people." And in Psalms 57:7, it says, "My heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise." And so this morning, there's many ways to give praise to the Lord. But he is the God that has saved us. He's the God that has given us every good thing that we've had. And we've had many. If nothing else, just to live in the land that we have lived in our lifetime, has been a blessing beyond measure. The world has seldom seen such a pleasurable situation as we have enjoyed in our lifetimes right here in this country. I thank God for that this morning. And I want to give him praise because I believe it's the Lord that has given those good things to us. You know, I believe that the Lord wants us to be a little more, give him a praise a little more. I think it would bless us today. I think it would garnish our sanctuary when we're all in here. And I'm not talking about physically. But this morning I want to look at a few things. In Joshua 1:1, we find Moses had died. And the Lord began then to speak to his minister Joshua, because the mantle fell on Joshua to lead the children of Israel after that. And it says here, 1-3, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore rise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel." See, God all along had that in mind. He had in mind to take them to this good place. And he said, every place, Joshua, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given you, as I said unto Moses. You know, that was a great promise. And I want to think about that a little more later. But I want to tell you something. The Lord did not just transform them from one place to the other. He said, everywhere that you put your foot on, the sole of your foot, I'm going to give that to you. And so Joshua had something to do, didn't he? If he wanted that land, then he needed to put his foot on it. They needed to lay claim to that promise. And so this morning, I want to tell you, I believe God has great and precious promises for us. And I believe it is the same things that he tells us today. Put your foot on it, and I'll give it to you. Put your foot on it, and I'll give it to you. I want to tell you, praise really, and I'm not just talking about saying praise the Lord. I want to think about that a little bit this morning. What is praise? But you know, I believe there's something that God wants to just flow and emanate out of our life until it brings glory to God. Is that all right? Is it all right for us and our lives to bring glory to God? Or is that big-headed? I think that we're a creation of God, folks. The scriptures tell us that. And we are to bring glory to our Maker. And I want to tell you, when we bring glory to our Maker, that is very, when people see that, it's something they really long for. Whether they're willing to go there or not, I think people long for that. I've found they do. And so this morning, I want to move on. I want to come back to this anyway, to Joshua some. In Leviticus 20 and 22, he told them, he said, "Ye shall therefore keep all my statutes and all my judgments and do them, that the land whether I bring you to dwell in spew you not out. And ye shall not walk in the manners of the nation which I cast out before you, for they committed all these things, and therefore I abhorred them. But I have said unto you, ye shall inherit their land, and I will give it unto you to possess it, a land that floweth with milk and honey. I am the Lord your God, which have separated you from other people." Those are promises that the Lord gave. And so I want to come back now over into Joshua, the third chapter, and the 13th verse, and look at what actually begins to happen as they begin to possess this land. "And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon an heap. And it came to pass, when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priest bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they that bear the ark were coming to Jordan, and the feet of the priest that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon an heap very far from the city Adam, that is beside Zaratan. And those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho." Do you know that I believe that if the priest had not put their feet in the water... Now, the water was still there. It was not only there, but it was overflowing. And that Jordan River was just overflowed. But when they put their feet in that water, God did something. Folks, we're not in this battle alone. But I want to tell you, we have great and precious promises that God has given to us. And he says, put your feet in the water. Put your sole of your foot on the land, and it'll be yours. I will give it to you. Now, you know, is that selfish? To claim the promises that God has given to you and me? Is it selfish to want to be saved from sin? Is that selfish? No, it's a gift of God that he wants to give us. Thank the Lord. We can set our feet on those promises and believe. Thank the Lord that we can put our foot on the promise. Lord, you promised to give us of the Spirit of God that he would dwell within us. That you would cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do you know the Lord has made promises to us, hasn't he? And so we want those things, don't we? I want to encourage us today to recognize God wants us to have some things, folks. He wants us to have some things. I want to encourage us to ask God, Lord, I want to inherit the promises of God. I want to be one that inherits those promises. And I do for one, and I think many here do also. The Lord help us today. Do you know that the next stop right after, here this wall of water It must have been a great wall for probably several million people, as they were, to go across. It must have been a great wall of water there that they saw. And I want to tell you, God can do those things, can't he? Now, that's impossible. How could such a thing happen? Because we serve a God that the impossible things are nothing. They're nothing to him. They are nothing to him. It was no problem for him to do that. He created the whole earth and all the things that are in it. He made the mountains. He made the oceans. The Lord moved upon those things and dry land appeared. And then he made all that was made, didn't he? And can he not work in our lives? Folks, the Lord has given great and precious promises. He wants us to put our foot on it and to say, Lord. Now, you promised here. I believe God wants us to do that. Now, if there's a failure, it's not on the Lord's part, so we might need to look inside. But I want to tell you this morning, the Lord wants to give us great and precious promises. I think it would have been comfortable for the Israelites to remain in camp. More comfortable than to get up and walk around the city every day like they did. But I want to tell you, their next stop after Jordan was Jericho, wasn't it? And you know, did God say, okay, now I've pulled those walls down, I want you to go take Jericho. He didn't do that. He gave them something to do too. And he said, I want you to do this. I want you to go around that city every day for 6 days. And the seventh day, I want you to go around it 7 times. And then I want the priest to blow with the trumpets loud and long. And all the people shout. And you know what? When they obeyed God like that, the walls just fell down, it says, flat. And they went right over those walls and took that city. And that land was theirs then, because God gave it to them. Now, God wasn't unrighteous to cast those people out. They were wicked. The people in the land of Canaan were very wicked. And the scriptures tell us that the reason they waited 400 years was because God it wasn't righteous for him to go in and just cast them out and put his people in there. But he brought judgment on those people. And I want to tell you, the Lord brings judgment on wicked people. And he's going to bring eternal judgment on wicked people. We want to depart from sin. We want to tell others, depart from sin. Folks, do you not realize around us, Lord, help us. Do you not realize what's going to happen? We believe it, folks. We've seen it happen, haven't we? And so, so the prize was the city. And what they did was obey God. And God gave them that. But he didn't just give it to them. They obeyed him. There were some things they had to do. In Joshua 1 and 11, just going to read several places here. I've already read some. Pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare you victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. You know, the Lord wanted them to possess it. If you go on down in the 15th verse, it says, until the Lord have given your brethren rest, as he hath given you, and they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them, all through Israel. And then ye shall return unto the land of your possession and enjoy it. Did you know that's what God told them? Now we hear about all the battles they fought. And they did. But did you know they did not do that the whole time in that way? It says, I want you to go in then and fight these battles, and then I want you to enjoy the land. And he says, which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on this side Jordan toward the sun rising. And so, this morning, I believe the Lord wants us to possess some things and enjoy some things. I know life is full of troubles. It's full of heartaches. It's full of things we can't control. But I want to tell you, the Lord wants to give us some blessings in that land. He wants to give us the large fruits. See, they brought back fruits. Those spies went into the land. They came back and they said, truly, it's a good land. Didn't they come back having, wasn't it grapes they had? So much and so heavy they had it. Between two of them was carrying it. And they saw those things. They saw the fruits of the land. Truly, it is a good land. But there's giants there. Folks, the Lord wants us to bring Him glory and praise. They went in finally. After 40 years, those people complained and murmured. And God said, you will not enter that land. None of you. That it was over 20 years old. None of the men over 20 years old. And I suppose the women also. But, you know, we find that God had something for them. And He said, I'm going to give it to your children. And they went in and enjoyed that, didn't they? And so this morning, I want us to think a little bit about possessing the land that God has for us. In Acts 4 and 10, you know, when they went into that land, we call Canaan or Israel, or, and they went in to possess that. There was obstacles there, wasn't there? We know that. Do you know that when you, the Lord blesses you, I promise you there's going to be obstacles there. There's going to be the same wickedness that was in that land to stand right up against you as well. But it's not new. But the Lord wants us to overcome those things. And He wants us to bring honor and glory and praise to the Lord. In 4 and 10 of Acts, it says, be it known unto you all that, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by Him doth this man stand here before you whole. You know, the Lord had done a marvelous healing there. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. I would think that everybody that heard that story and saw that man that was so deeply afflicted and God healed him, I would think they would be joyful, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you think so? But they weren't. In fact, it made them very angry, some of them. And He went on to preach to them and say, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves. You know, they couldn't face it straight on. But they got behind their backs and they started saying, you know, we cannot allow this. Saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to teach at all, nor not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. Do you know this morning that when the Lord begins to work in our life, I just want to warn you, You already know this probably. Satan is going to try to take your liberty. Do you know that the scriptures speak of the glorious liberty of the children of God? I know he was speaking a lot probably about the bondage of the Old Testament laws and Mosaic rituals and sacrifices and all those things that had meaning, spiritual meanings, in the New Testament times. But I want to tell you, there is a glorious liberty to the children of God that he wants to give us this morning. And so we can only expect, as these people did, they came and told them, we don't want you to speak in this name anymore. Don't you teach in this name anymore. And I want to ask us something this morning. Have you ever said amen loud enough to be heard? And the devil said, don't you ever do that again. Have you ever done that? I have. I want to tell you something, folks. The devil wants to take our liberty to bring praise to the Lord. Now, I know that we hate emotionalism. I don't like emotionalism because it is the flesh on display. But I love emotions. I love it when the inside is liberated to give glory to God. And it comes out in our emotions. And I want to encourage us to set our foot on that ground a little more than we do. I want to encourage us to raise our hand. How often do you raise your hand to a song? Do we have to feel an overwhelming urgency to do that? Or can we say, this is true. It's true. I've seen it work. I know it's true. Is God good? Yes, he's good. I want to encourage us today to claim the liberty of the people of God. The Lord wants us to be able to stand up and testify for him. Have you ever testified and the Lord and the devil said, that was stupid? Have you ever had that happen? I have. I've got down out of this pulpit before and the devil's told me that. Don't you ever preach again. You quit. Have you ever had some? Sure you have. I'll guarantee you some of you have. Probably a lot of you have. I want to tell you, maybe some people like to speak, but others don't. And so the devil knows where our weak spots are. Folks, listen, we have liberty in the Lord. Did you know when we get down to pray, it's time to pray. Now, I know if we don't pray at home, we shouldn't be praying in service out loud. But folks, if we pray, if we know the Lord, when it gets time to pray, let's ask God, Lord, I want to put my foot on that thing. I want to be able to have the liberty, the glorious liberty of the Lord to pray. Have you ever said, oh, thank God, thank the Lord, from our hearts? Or shall we let the devil, as he did here, don't you teach and don't you speak in that name again? Did you know that's what the devil will say to you? Don't you speak again. He might even send one of his people along to tell you how bad it was. He might. I've had that happen. I want to tell you this morning, folks, the Lord has liberty for the people of God. And he wants there to be an oil of joy. Folks, the Lord wants us to ask him, this is your promise. Lord, this is our place. You know what? I love coming here. I don't know anywhere I would rather be than here. Really, I don't. But I will tell you, folks, let's just strive for a little more of it. We have, you know, we don't have things hanging all over these walls, do we? What we bring in here is what we have. I believe the Lord wants there to be a little more praises. Is that all right? I believe the Lord wants there to be a little more thanksgiving. And I'm not trying to talk about getting up, seeing if somebody can outshout someone else. Folks, that happens in carnal churches. It does. I have seen some of that happen. But I want to tell you, we don't have that problem here. But we need to declare our liberty. We need to declare our liberty. I want to encourage you, let's move up a little closer. We have the liberty to do that. Do you know what that bespeaks of everything here? It's the atmosphere that we have. That's the atmosphere we have. Well, I love this place. I love our Wednesday night prayer meetings. We come to service and I love to sit and listen to all the things the Lord has been inspiring other people with or doing for them. It is a blessing. You know what I wish though? I really do. And I want to ask you to consider this in the spirit of love. Let's move up a little closer. I can ask that. Let's move up a little closer. Let's make the atmosphere in such a way that it portrays something that when people walk in, they say, God is in those people. And I believe that that happens many times. I've seen it happen a lot of times. And people will say that. They know that. But folks, can it be a little better? Can we inherit more of the promise? Or shall we be like the children of Israel that went in, and what did they take, 60 or 70%, something like that, of all that land that they had to have, take? And the part that was left really came back to trouble them. It came back to trouble them. And I believe the Lord wants us this morning to open our hearts to Him and say, Lord, I want the boldness. I want the strength. I want the graces of the Spirit of God to flow a little more freely. And I want my liberty. I want my liberty to say amen. Can we just try that this morning? Amen. I want my liberty to do that. And I want your liberty to do that too. God is good to us, isn't He? I want to tell you, I cannot tell you how good God is. Do I suffer? Sure, we all do, don't we? Sometimes we're in the flesh and we will suffer in the flesh sometimes. But I want to tell you, the benefits are innumerable. The things that God has daily loaded you and I with. Folks, no matter how bad it may be in your life, there is a God that cares, that comforts, that loves, that wants to help us in our heart, in our spirit, in our life. He wants to drive the clouds away. And I know clouds sometimes are not all bad, but not all the time. We don't live in Oregon, folks. We live in Oklahoma. I love the Oklahoma skies, don't you? He wants to shut us up. And He wants to threaten us and accuse us. And I want to tell you, the longer we allow Him to have our liberty, the harder it is to get it. And so this morning, let's proclaim our liberty. And let's ask God, Lord, don't let me be shut up. You know, there's people that want to take our liberty to preach the gospel this morning. But it's not just out there. I want to tell you something. The devil wants to take your liberty in here. When you come to service, he wants to. Folks, we have the best thing in the world. I believe that. I truly believe that. That's why we preach the gospel, one reason. Because, folks, we have true salvation. We have truths that the world doesn't understand. By the Spirit of God that's been given to us, we have something very precious. Oh, let's enjoy that this morning. I want to look on over here in Acts 4. Let's see, verse 23. And when they heard that, see, they were threatened. Now, don't you speak anymore. Folks, it was a little scary because they're people like we are. They were people just like we are. And so I can tell you, these folks put others to death before them. Stephen, Jesus, James. I want to tell you, I don't know exactly what timetable all that was here. But they knew the power of these people. And they knew what they were up against. And so they brought that to the Lord. And they came to the Lord together. And they began to ask God. It says, and being let go, verse 23, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God. Do you know what they said? They said what they knew in their heart. Lord, thou art God. You have control of all these things. And they said, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David, I'll stop there and drop on down to 29. Excuse me. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. Do you know what these men knew? They knew what the Lord could do. And they came to him and they said, Lord, you can stretch your, you see their threatenings. Lord, you can stretch your hand out and you can heal and you can bless in a mighty way by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Folks, I want to encourage, I want to challenge us this morning. Get together and pray. And let's ask God. I will tell you, one time you can get together is Wednesday at noon. There's a small group that gathers here most Wednesdays at noon. If you want to come, contact Rosie or I or Sister Dina or Janine or somebody. And most of the time we have it. But folks, it's a time to pray and seek the Lord for the needs. Let's ask God, Lord, open the doors of liberty to us, that we can be free to raise our hands, to say amen, to lead out in prayer, to be a blessing to one another that's a little greater than what it is. See, we're a blessing to one another. I know we are. But folks, I want to tell you, God wants to open the windows of heaven, and he wants to increase that, and he wants it to grow. All through the scripture we find we are to grow. We are to grow in grace. We are to add to our faith. We studied here not long ago. We're to add to our faith these things. Folks, let's don't be contented with good. Let's have better than that. Let's don't be contented to barely be here. Let's be here. Let's have praises on our lips to the Lord. We can do that. Thank the Lord this morning. Oh, I believe that they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, for they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Let's open our hearts for a little more. Is that all right this morning? Let's open our hearts and say, Lord, I really want you to be glorified. We're not talking about glorifying ourselves. I've seen people run around and shout and all those things, and I'm not saying there's something wrong with that. I'm really not. But I've also seen that same person go back and boasting about it and what was on this one's face and on that one. I'm not talking about that. And I think it has shut us down because we have seen that in the past. Sister Catherine did, and she was a great blessing to the services. I want to tell you this morning, I believe the Lord wants us to declare our freedom a little more. Because the devil will try to say, don't speak. They'll think you're like, so listen, let's take our liberty. Let's testify. Doesn't the scripture tell us that by the blood of the Lamb? Does it stop there? And the word of their testimony, they overcame. They overcame by that. Folks, it's part of our salvation. I encourage you to stand up and testify once in a while. I know some people are a lot more with words, and I'm not trying to put a guilt trip on anybody. But let's have our liberty. I believe the Lord wants to shine through our lives. You know, if you read the 148th Psalm, and I have it here, but maybe I'll read some of it. It's a beautiful psalm that I've read many times. I love to read this psalm because listen to what the words of it says. Almost to the end of Psalms, 148. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise ye him, all his angels. Praise ye him, all his host. Praise ye him, sun and moon. Praise him, all ye stars of light. I've never heard them yet. Have you? But oh, I've heard them daily. Because I've seen the glory of God, of his work in their bodies, reflected to the earth. It's beautiful, isn't it? Praise him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord. For he commanded and they were created. He hath also established them forever and ever. He hath made a decree which shall not pass. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons and all deeps. Fire and hail, snow and vapor, stormy wind, fulfilling his word. Mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars. Beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl. Kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord. For his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. He also exalted the horn of his people, the praise of all his saints, even of the children of Israel. A people near unto him. Praise ye the Lord. Oh, this morning, the Lord help us to bring praise to the Lord. I know that these heavenly bodies bring praise to the Lord, folks, because God made them and they reflect his glory. That's what he wants to do in our lives. And sometimes I think it's good for us with our mouth to glorify God as well. The scripture says in Psalm 50 and 23, whoso offereth praise glorifieth me, and to him that ordereth his conversation aright will I shew the salvation of God. I'm going to show my salvation to that person. Do you know that we, many times by our actions and our obedience, you could say command the Lord? Because he said, if you will do this, I will do my part. I think many times we say, I can't and I won't. Whatever it is, I can't and I won't. Well, we never see the next part where it says, to them I'll show the salvation of the Lord. I want to tell you, let God be glorified in your life. Now, I'm not talking about getting up and talking all the time. Folks, I'm talking about letting the Lord use our mouth too. Letting the Lord use our hand. Letting the Lord work in our lives. Letting the Lord work when we get in business dealings. Letting the Lord be in all of that. Folks, those things bring glory to God when they're done right. And so this morning, the Lord help us today There was a battle one time. Jehoshaphat, we've heard this story many times, most all of us. But I want to tell you, they had a company of people come against them that, this is in 2 Chronicles 20 and 10. And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade, when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. And you know, they had come down against the children of Israel. And they didn't know what to do. It was more than they had to do. They knew they couldn't fight this battle. They couldn't win this battle. But I want to tell you, what happened in the end was the Lord told them, I'm going to fight this battle for you. I want to tell you, the Lord's told us some things. I'm going to fight your battles for you. The Lord's told us that, hasn't he? I'll be with you all the way, even until the end of the world. I'm going to fight for you. And so you know what they did? They set people about to sing and to praise the Lord. That was the way they fought their battle. That was the way this tremendous battle that was to be fought was fought. And I want to tell you what happened here. When they, it says, and when he had consulted with the people, the king, 2 Chronicles 20 and 21, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that they should praise the beauty of holiness, as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. We're going to say that. We're going to put that down. We're going to put our foot on it. Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. We haven't seen the end of this battle. We're still looking at something that's impossible. But we're going to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And I want to tell you what happened. Just like we mentioned a minute ago about God coming in and doing his part. And when they began to sing and to praise, when they began to sing and to praise, it says, see, you can sing to the Lord. Folks, if the Lord has a song for you, let's sing it. Let's ask him. Do you know what a blessing it is in our services? And we enjoy the songs that we have. Folks, I love to see people sing specials to the Lord from a heart that's heartfelt, not to try to get up and show off. I'm sure that's been done, and that's what the devil will say. But you're just trying to be something. Don't you know he's got to say something? He's going to say something. We can sing. We can declare our liberty. And that's one way of bringing glory to God. Folks, you want other people to be inspired to serve the Lord? I do. I want us, and I've been thinking about this lately, I would like our services to be such that we have in mind to influence other people for the Lord. Our services. You all coming in. The way we sit. The way we sing. The things that we do. Whether we testify. Whether we, you know, we can just come in and just be here. We're glad you're here. But I want to tell you, could be even better. The Lord might have something for us to give. And let's pray that the Spirit of God will come on our life like it did those people over there in Acts, the 4th chapter. Not that we get up and say something all the time, but folks, that we let the Lord work in our life and glorify himself. How many times have you wanted to say amen and didn't feel liberty to? Or wanted to raise your hand, but, oh, I don't want to do that. We have to fight for these things. Fight for Jericho. Fight for the next town. If we want those things. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah. And they were smitten. Now how were they smitten? The Israelites suddenly became very skillful. They suddenly became more in number. Now listen to this. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir. utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. God started fighting for them. I don't know what your battles are, but I want to tell you something. God wants to fight for you, and He will. And He wants us to put our foot on it and say it's so. That's okay. That's not mind over matter. That's believing and having faith and moving in the promises of God. The Lord will help us. Will He not? I believe He will. I'm persuaded that He will. And I'm persuaded not to let the devil put me into a corner and take away the praise to the Lord. Oh, the Lord bless us this morning. The Lord help us. There's power in obedience. I want to tell you, those people turned on one another. The battle just disappeared. What happened to it? God began to work. God began to work. When God begins to work, folks, things change. And so this morning, I ask you to pray about what we've said this morning. And let's pray together about it. I don't want the devil to take away the oil of joy and blessing that He wants to give us here. I don't want the devil to have that. Let's ask the Lord, Lord, I want to bring glory and praise to You. You've done everything for me. Can I not do a little more for You? I know it has to be the Lord working in and through us, but folks, let's consecrate our lips to the Lord. Let's consecrate our lives to the Lord, that God can work like He wants to. One more scripture. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not carnal, folks. We don't go to bat against one another and against the things of this world. We don't do that. But I want to tell you, they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. The Lord wants us to learn how to use His weaponry. I want to tell you, a lot of times, just the very spirit of joy, just the very spirit of somebody, I've noticed this through the years again and again, if somebody in the congregation will let the Lord work through them, and the Lord begins to move on them, and they won't sit there and sit it out, you know, the Spirit of the Lord breaks forth in a greater way lots of times. Lots of times with conviction, I've seen it happen. I want to tell you, the Lord wants to bless us, but there is a peace for us to play in it. Let's learn to use the weaponry of the Lord. Part of the weaponry is for us to be a little more expressive of the thanksgivings that we have in our heart, of the praise that we have to the Lord. Because the devil would like to shut us down. He would like for us to be complainers. That's pretty much opposite of praise. And the devil wants to do that. And the scriptures tell us that those things are written for our admonishment, for our learning, that we can see what those people did back there and displeased the Lord. We're not able to inherit the promises of God, but the Lord wants us to inherit the promises of God this morning. So the Lord bless everyone. You pray for us too. I preach to myself too. Amen.